Welcome to the Trill NBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose, a new hot, aka the trillest NBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Happy Sunday, y'all! Oh, I'm so excited. So, if you remember the beginning of Corporate Warrior Spotlight, which I'm about to get into, you will remember I talked about my baddest friend, and she is actually going to be on the show today. But first, Corporate Warrior Spotlight! All right, so this week, Corporate Warrior Spotlight goes to Anne Marie Campbell. She is the Executive Vice President of U.S. Stores at the Home Depot. Anne Marie began her career with Home Depot in 1985 as a cashier in South Florida. And today she is the Executive Vice President of U.S. Stores. That's a big dog role, you guys. In this role, she leads the company's three U.S. operating divisions, comprised of nearly 2,000 U.S. stores and the bulk of the company's nearly 400,000 associates. 400,000 people report into her. Now, not, you know, one-on-one, but this is how huge her organization is that she runs, right? Anne Marie shares her business expertise on a board level by serving on the boards of Georgia State University's Robinson College of Business, Barnes & Noble, and Potbelly Corporation. Her impact is widely recognized, with Fortune magazine listing her among its top 50 most powerful women in business for multiple years in a row, you guys. I mean, it has been multiple years. Anne Marie is a graduate of Georgia State University, where she earned a bachelor's degree in philosophy and a master's degree in business administration. She is a member of Beta Gamma Sigma, an international business honor society, and the National Scholars Honor Society. So basically, Anne Marie Campbell is a badass, okay? And she took it from cashier to the top. She reports to the CEO. Like, word up. I love it. I'm excited. Hopefully someday I'll get to meet her. I don't know her personally. If you know Anne Marie and you listen to this show, make sure you send her this shout out. You go, girl. We're praying for you. May God keep and bless you, because Lord, 4,000 associates. All right, if you have a corporate warrior that you want to recognize, send me an email at ask@trillmba.com with Corporate Warrior Spotlight in the subject line. Please send the person's name and the bio, okay? Don't have me out here having to go Google. I don't want to do my Googles. I'm lazy, okay? Now, today, I get to sit down with one of our Corporate Warrior Spotlight Sheroes, the very first one, actually, Miss Tia Cummings. I am so excited, y'all. I know I'm supposed to read this badass professional bio she done sent me. It's all fancy like she is, because, you know, all my Delta friends, this is one of your sorors. So, you know, she's got it all together. Okay, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about Tia. First of all, she is a badass marketer day one. She has been given all kinds of accolades and awards, from 40 Under 40 honoree. She's an Atlanta-based marketer for right now. She's been all over the place. She's worked for many Fortune 500 companies. So United Technologies, Johnson & Johnson, L'Oreal, Kellogg's, IHG, International Hotels Group, you know, Holiday Inn, okay? And right now, she is the Vice President of Marketing for Walker & Company Brands. which designs health and beauty solutions for people of color. So not only is she a badass marketer, but she's doing it for the culture. That's my girl. That's my girl. Okay, y'all know I'm super hyped because not only is this human being on this earth all angelic, she fine as hell. Like, she's smarter than she is fine. So, like, already. But then, like, she don't even really know how fine she is. So she like real humble and sweet and Southern to her roots. Like, she got good parents and things. Like, she is just an amazing human being. She's very smart. You know, she's a good engineer, MBA, because, you know, that's the combo. That's the one right there. I'm just telling you, I have known this woman for over 10 years now, and I cannot wait to see what she does next. And every year I'm like, what you doing? Girl, no, you didn't. And when I have problems, I call Tia because she knows the answers. So Tia, we're going to get into this because now that you're a VP, today we're going to talk about what is it like. We're going to talk about this Black senior leaders dilemma. At least this is what I'm calling it. And it's the dilemma that Black senior leaders face in marketing. But first, Tia Cummings, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited. I've been waiting for this invitation.
I know. She's like, well, you had Tiffany on the show. You had Joanna on the show. Mm-hmm. How you not gonna have me? You had Elena on the show? Like, how you got everybody else on the show? When I'm gonna be on the show? I'm like, but I mean, you know, you like, you know, you're a VP now. So I'm like, I have to make it, you know, I gotta come correct with you, you know. I'm so excited to have you here. First of all, how are you doing? Because this pandemic, this being Black, this being excellent, this, it's just, woof. How
yeah,
you doing, girl?
It's a lot. And, you know, it was fine at first because I am an introvert by nature. So I was like, oh, an excuse to stay in the house? That's great. But the longer it's dragged on, you know, the more you miss those social interactions. I miss going to brunch with my girlfriends. I miss, you know, being out in Atlanta, going to all the different festivals during the summer. So, you know, it's definitely gotten old. You have to get creative so you don't lose your mind.
So how are you keeping your sanity with all this shit that's happening?
You know, it's so important for me to unplug because I think that's the one challenge with when you're home all the time, you feel pressure to constantly be connected to a device, right?
Right.
So it's like, oh, I'm going to work more because, you know, I'm at home. I don't have to commute or travel. I'm going to put in more hours at work, but that'll burn you out. Right. You're like, oh, well, I'll just, you know, play on my phone, be on social media. But reading the news and seeing what's going on in the world, that'll wear you out, too.
Yeah.
And so I'm very intentional about taking breaks from screens so that I'm not, you know, constantly, my mind isn't constantly running.
Right.
So, you know, just going for walks outside, you know, or reading, things like that. That's what really, I think, is helping me stay sane.
Good. And then with this being your first VP role and you just starting in November, which seems like 5 years ago, but actually it was less than a year ago. Mm-hmm. So you only, what, 9 months into
this? 9 months. Mm-hmm.
And the majority of that has been during a pandemic, quarantining, not in the office. So how are you managing just having a new job?
You know, it's been really, really interesting. You know, this is my first time being at a smaller company, right? Because Walker & Company is really like a startup within a larger company. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we run very independently. And so it's different, right? It was different even for the few months that I was in the office, right? It's a much smaller team. Mm-hmm. My scope of responsibility is broad because I am the most senior marketer, right? I sit on the Walker & Co. leadership team, you know, with the CEO, Tristan Walker, the COO, and the other VP heads of functions. And so this is my first time where it's like, you know, I really have an important strategic role in the direction of the company, which is exciting.
Right.
But also, because it's a smaller company and I have a smaller team, I'm still, you know, in the weeds. So I'm flexing from top to bottom, if you will, which has been a very interesting challenge. I definitely think it has grown me as a leader. It's shown me what I'm capable of. And so it's, you know, it's different. I think it, if I had been a VP, my first VP role had been at a larger company, I think I'd be having a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually really grateful for this one because I see it as I'm easing my way into senior leadership. And so it's been really, really cool. You know, when you're sitting at this level on the you know, the leadership of a company, you have visibility to things that you wouldn't normally have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm learning about things and parts of the business that I've normally never really had to think about.
Oh.
And so that's great, right? I think this really will set me up for a more senior role at a larger organization in the future.
You know, you're the only person I know that says, yeah, so I'm doing the work of 51 people because my team is small. But I think this is great because I'm going to learn a lot and I'm flexing muscles. And I'm like, nigga, what? Like,
you know, you have to stay positive, right? I made the choice to leave a big company and take this role because I thought it would be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be different. I thought it would force me to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is. And so I can't complain that it's doing everything that I thought it would. You know, even though it's a lot of work, you know, my team is great. It's just, you know, I'm stepping into an organization that historically hasn't had a lot of marketing process or structure and really trying to build marketing capabilities.
Right.
Which is awesome. But at the same time I'm trying to build, I've also got to deliver and execute because we've got growth objectives.
Exactly.
And so it's like I'm running and, you know, eating at the same time. Again, is crazy, busy, but a challenge that is forcing me to grow and develop. And so, you know, that's the way I view all of my experiences in corporate America is, you know, was I able to grow? Was I challenged? Did I learn? And if that's the case, then that means it was a good experience.
Good. So in the past couple months, was there an experience that you wish you had gotten sooner that now you're just kind of thrown in it because you are this VP who has to have this higher level visibility. So it's not like a regular marketing VP in a like a Fortune 500 company where, you know, you have all these layers of VPs and senior directors and all this stuff. So they just have certain pieces of the business and it probably is a little bit more silo. Whereas you being that it's a smaller, it's like you now have to understand all the move, like operations, how product is developed, all this other kind of stuff that you might not have to have known. So have you found yourself in a situation and been like, I wish that when I was in, you know, my junior role, I wish I could have experienced XYZ.
That's an interesting question, Felicia. And, you know, I feel like I'm very fortunate in that I had such a broad set of experiences before I got here that it set me up really well.
Okay.
Right. And not just my marketing experiences, right? Even my non-marketing roles. From when I worked in operations or going back to when I was an engineer working in new product development, I think I got such a variety of experiences that I was exposed to over the years. I felt set up well for this one. What I, you know, the biggest challenge for me though is one that you mentioned, right? Is really learning this new category that I'm playing in.
Ah, yeah.
Right? Bevel is a men's grooming brand for black men. You know, what do I know about men's grooming? You know, of course, a lot of the other categories and things I've worked on over the years were things I could personally relate to.
Yeah,
you know, whether it was food or personal care or even travel and hospitality.
Right.
You know, all of these things that I was a consumer of. And so now I'm in an experience where it's like, oh, I'm not a consumer of this product. That's a, you know, I have to think about it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it's spending as much time as possible learning the category, learning the consumer, learning the business even, because we are also a direct-to-consumer brand, not just sold in retail. And so learning what it means to be a direct-to-consumer business and how do you have to flex your marketing to ensure that you're driving the direct sales and retail sales. So those are the things that I'm learning on the job. But for the most part, I feel like my background set me up well to be able to handle the myriad of things that I'm responsible for.
So what advice would you give somebody who's like, well, I want to be a VP? Let's say they're an ABM, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, I want to be a VP. What type of roles, like a couple different characteristics of the roles that you think set you up well and that they should be looking to get?
Yeah, you've got to be willing to move around.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one thing for me. So I've purposely worked at a variety of companies in a variety of consumer industries because I wanted that broad experience.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would make me more marketable as a leader, and I think it has.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to be very intentional about what you're doing and the roles that you're taking. There was a time, and I think this will be a great example, when I was in ABM earlier in my career, and you know, it was my goal to get the brand manager and to move up that track.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted to get promoted, and it was taking a while. And the company I was at the time, I won't mention their name,
mm-hmm.
had offered me a manager role, but it was not outside brand, right?
Oh.
I would have been a manager more in a like PR / communication / partnerships kind of role.
Oh, the soft brand.
Yeah,
roles.
They were exactly trying to move me to the side a little bit
mm-hmm.
and to get my promotion. And I was like, the role, to be clear, the role was really cool. I think it would have been a ton of fun. I would have been working with different media partners. It was sexy.
Right.
But it wasn't a brand manager.
Right.
And so I had to make the decision, like, is it more important for me to just take a promotion? Or is it more important for me to stay in brand and keep waiting? And so I turned that job down because I said, you know, I need to get to brand manager before I even think about taking a role in another area
mm-hmm.
because I didn't want to get pushed over there and then not be able to come back to brand.
Exactly.
So I think it's important as an ABM that you plan to stay in brand for some time. You need to get to brand manager. You definitely need to get that stripe
right
before you look at taking, you know, a cross-functional type assignment,
right?
Right? Because once you get the brand manager stripe, you know, by then you've covered a lot of the fundamentals and the basics. And so that would be the main piece of advice that I give you is to don't be tempted by a promotion in another functional area if you really want to be in brand and if your goal is to move up through the brand organization. If you just want to move up, you know, and you don't care what type of role, then by all means. But I knew I wanted to be a marketer. I knew I wanted to be a general manager. And so it was important for me to stay on that track.
Right.
To that end, when my promotion did not materialize in brand at that particular company,
mm-hmm.
I left.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be comfortable leaving and going where people will value you and promote you and be willing to do that, you know, as often as necessary. Now, I'm not saying every 6 months, but, you know,
or every
be
year.
Cognizant of the fact of, hey, am I continuing to grow and advance and learn? And if not, it's time to go.
That's a word. I hope y'all receive that. I did not pay her. She's a trill MBA. She just don't curse like I do. But she is one of the trillest I know. But one thing I want people to see that you're just a regular human being. Like, yes, you a VP of this Fortune 500 owned company. Understand. She is a person. And I hope you heard her when she said, hey, yeah, I'm a big dog VP at this new company. I'm stretched. I'm doing all these things, but I've had to disconnect. I've had to take care of myself. So that stuff doesn't change just because now you've risen the ranks. So I want that to be clear. Because remember, more money, more problems.
Yeah, get you a therapist. I think everybody should have one.
Amen. Amen. And on that note, we're about to take a break, Tia. But when we come back, me and you, we're going to answer this listener letter that I have from someone who can't seem to get promoted. And well, since you clearly know how to get promoted, we're going to talk about it right after the break. Hey guys, you hear me talk about build relationships, but how? Build credibility, but how? Well, I am launching a course, When It Work. The registration is open. Go to trillmba.com/courses and sign up for a registration call. There, we'll talk about what your goals are, what you're needing, and let's see if you're a good fit for this 6-week course. And yes, the course is 6 weeks, and then you will have support for the rest of the year after the course. So quickly go on over trillmba.com/courses and sign up for your registration call. The class starts September 8th. Registration closes September 6th. So don't wait till the last minute, y'all. Okay? I'm only accepting a small number of people. This is a 6-week intensive, and I'm telling you, if you are ready to be promoted and you just haven't figured out exactly how to do it, I got you. So head on over to trillmba.com/courses and sign up today. All right, let's get back to the show. And welcome back, guys. I'm here with my bestie, Tia Cummings, who is the VP of Marketing at Walker & Company, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of Procter & Gamble. These are the type of people I hang out with. So if you try to be my friend, no, I'm playing.
No, we're regular, okay?
All right, let me get to this listener letter. Okay. So listener writes, Dear TrillMBA, I've been at my current company for 2 years and my performance meets or exceeds expectations. I have solid ratings. When I ask my manager about promotion, he dodges the question or asks to table it for another time. I like the people I work with and I could see myself climbing in the company, but I feel like my manager is not helping me get promoted to my next role. Is there a way around him? He's not a bad manager, but he's not really advocating for me from what I can see. Please help.
You want me to go on this one first?
Yes.
All right. So there's usually a couple of reasons why managers will do this. And I'm going to try to talk you through based off of my experience.
Yes, VP. Get it. Let me take some notes. Hold on. Let me get my pen.
As a manager, as someone who has gotten many people promoted,
yes.
Especially in my last company, I did a really great job. I got like 3 or 4 of my direct reports were promoted.
Get it.
I will say it is hard. Do you know how hard a lot of times companies make it to promote someone?
Nigga, HR, I have yet to get a direct report. Like, I can't even get a direct report. So.
Let me tell you, HR, they make you jump through hoops. They're going to ask for all these questions, all this data to back it up. Like, it's not easy. It's not as easy as just going to HR or even going to your boss and saying, hey, I have someone on my team who wants to be promoted. It's work, okay. Honestly. And some managers may just be like, oh, I really don't want to go through that process, which is not a good reason.
Right.
But it is something that happens. And that is across. It doesn't matter, you know, your race, gender, anything. Just sometimes thinking about the uphill battle that it can be to get a promotion for someone on your team, managers may not want to deal with it.
Okay.
So that could be the first reason why.
Okay.
The other reason I found is that there may be something that they think is holding you back, some piece of, you know, feedback that they haven't given you because, oh, they're too nice and they don't want to talk about it. So in their mind, you aren't ready, but they don't want to tell you that yet. So they're avoiding you to avoid telling you.
Okay.
That's the second one, right? The other one could also be some sort of organizational issue. Maybe the organization is in the middle of a freeze, no promotions, or maybe they're about to do layoffs, unfortunately, and they're not able to say anything yet.
Right.
And so they're avoiding you because they can't say anything yet. Right. So those are pretty legitimate,
right,
you know, issues that have nothing to do with, you know, actually, no, it's just because you're a Black woman, I'm trying to avoid you.
Right.
So that also happens, but I wanted to focus on the other three
facts
that I do know happen. Because those are the three that you can work within, right? And
right.
So your manager is dodging you. You need to really force the issue by going to him and saying, you know, hey, my career is really important to me, and so is my advancement. I've noticed this conversation keeps moving. I really want to have this conversation within the next and set a time frame, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's 1 week, 1 month, right? To understand, you know, what it will take for me to get to the next level. I just want to be sure there's nothing about my performance that you think is holding me back. You know, I really want all the feedback you can give me. Please don't be afraid to share anything. And sort of make it easy for them, right?
Right.
If that's the issue, if they're, you know, too afraid to have an awkward conversation, open the door and say, hey, I'm ready to talk about it, whatever the feedback is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But make it time bound and force them to have that conversation. The other thing I would say is, if you have a good relationship with your boss's boss, not saying that you ever want to go around them like that. However, if it comes to that point, you know, you should be comfortable saying, hey, I'm really trying to have this conversation, you know, with my boss. Are you supportive of this? I'm only saying do that if you have a really good relationship with your boss's boss, because there are instances where people have that really strong skip level relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Use it, right?
Yeah.
But for me, that's the biggest thing you can do, is force them to have the conversation and put a time limit on it. You know, I'm not going to tell you to go to HR and all those things, because I'll be transparent. I don't think that HR is usually helpful.
They're not.
Maybe I shouldn't say that. No offense to the HR professionals, but oftentimes they aren't. But the thing is, force them to have the conversation and really close that communication by saying, you know, I really see a future here and I really want to build my career here. But if that's not the case, let me know so I can, you know, make other arrangements. Right.
Ooh,
and,
yes.
And that's not a threat. That's
no.
Really saying, I'm committed to this organization. I want to grow here. But if you don't see that happening, please tell me so I don't continue to waste my time.
I know.
Right. That's how you can really manage it, you know, with your direct manager. I think the other piece of it, and this is going to really be important, is you should have support within that organization beyond your manager,
mm-hmm.
who's pushing this on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you have senior level mentors and sponsors to really help you? And so it's not just you being the lone voice pushing for this. You've got other people speaking on your behalf.
Yes. And so here, that's where I want to break down. I'm glad you brought that up, Tia. That's perfect. I was talking to Mario the other day. And you know Mario. Shout out Mario if you even listen to this podcast. I think he does, but...
He's awesome.
Yes. So Mario's in our marketing sphere, right? One of our associates, colleagues, friends. So I was talking to Mario today, and I came up with this great analogy to explain the difference between mentors, advocates, and sponsors. And so it's on you to tell me, Felicia, you're full of shit. But all right. Think about it like this. The company is a pot and soil, right? You're the seed, and you get hired into the company and you burrow yourself in the soil. Now, mentors are supposed to come along and make sure that you put yourself in the right place. They dig around for you, make the hole for you, push you down in there good. You know, they pat it down, they get it ready for the sunlight and the water. Because that's what you need to grow as a plant in a company, in the soil, in the pot, right? And advocates are the sunlight. They shine on you. They put a light on you to help you grow up through the organization. And so you as the seed sprouting, you should have advocates that are around the pot that are saying, oh, look at that. Let me shine this light. Look at that great work she did. Look at what she did over here. Oh, that's so great. You have to cultivate all these relationships though. But now get this, the sponsor is the person with the watering can with the water in it. And not everybody has the watering can and the water. But you need at least one person that got the juice, the water, to pour the water on your seed. Because without that water, you cannot grow in that pot. You're not going to make it.
That's a really interesting analogy, Felisa. And I think it works. It applies really well.
Yeah.
Right? Because like you know, the sponsors are the ones who are going to help lift you up, right? Yeah. So when they know there's a promotion or, you know, a role available, they're the ones who are going to put you up for it.
Yeah. And you may not even know who this person is that has the watering can.
Yep.
But they the ones going around watering all the pots for the company.
They do. I think with the sponsors, it helps, though, if you can, you know, cultivate that relationship because you've established such a strong reputation for yourself.
Right.
You can ask them to sponsor you and they will. But right. Oftentimes, if you're performing at that level, it gets noticed. But I find with us, with meaning if you are minority and women, black right. women especially,
right.
you could be killing it. And everyone knows you're killing it.
Yeah.
But unless you explicitly ask for that sponsorship or mentorship, you don't always get it. And that's what's really the problem with corporate America, right?
Right. That is the problem because, and it, you know, at the crux of it, I tell people, racism is like the foundational thing. And then on top of that is all the gunk of this is human nature. So human nature, we've been socialized to look at people and see ourselves. And you can see this thing that we do as humans. You can see it start in like junior high school at the lunch tables where people start gravitating towards people who look like them. And then at the root of us, at the foundation, is racism. Like, we've been socialized in a racist and sexist society. And so that is so subtly ingrained in us that that's how we kind of break off by race and by gender when we're young. And it perpetuates. And it's not a, it when we do it, it's not even really intentional. It's just kind of... it's what makes me feel comfortable. Like, I'm comfortable sitting at the black kid tables, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm the only black kid in a classroom full of white kids. I'm in school with a bunch of white kids, and the black kids say I sound white. So now I go sit with these white kids until they call me a nigga, and then I go hang out with the band kids. I'm sorry, this isn't my therapy session. Okay. So the point is, we start doing this. How that manifests itself in corporate is Bob comes along to Billy and is like, Billy, you remind me of me when I was your age. You want to go play golf on Saturday? It's just me and Dave. Now, Dave's the CEO of the company. This is Bob, the VP, and this is Billy, the ABM. And so next thing you know, Bob introduced Billy to the CEO, who the CEO definitely has water in cans. You hear me? Right? And so now here's the seed being presented. And it's like, hey, go ahead. The advocate's shining. Go ahead. He needs a little water. Can you put some water on him so he won't dry out from all my shine I'm about to give him all through the organization? Because he reminds me of me.
Yeah.
Now, where my big booby 5'8 black ass gonna remind some old wrinkly ass white man of himself? How I'm gonna do that?
Yep, unfortunately.
And so this is what we have to fight against. So now I gotta go get in Bob's face and be like, hey Bob, you know something we got in common? I'm hella ambitious and I know you hella ambitious. Wanna grab coffee? And so now we in this post segregated world where it's still racism, but now you had to hire me because your numbers in the EEOC and shit, and Trump's ass ain't really got to take over like he wants to, so I'm still in this bitch. So now I'm in your face smiling, and so you kind of like, okay. And now I gotta try my best with all my energy and all my black girl magic and all my tap dancing. on, Bob. Give me some sunshine. Yeah. And then Bob has to sit there and be like, well, I guess she isn't so bad. This is the first black girl I've ever really talked to. This is what we up against.
You're absolutely right.
But we can do it because then now look at Tia. The last job Tia had, let me tell y'all something about Tia Cummins. So we were at a concert that was put on by her last job. Now, mind you, she done left these people, but they still let her come to her last little activation. She don't even work for them no more, but she's still working for them. I was like, girl, what is you doing? So she helping people out, introducing people, you know, doing the boss bitch thing, right? And I'm just happy to be here because I'm like, oh, my friends are awesome. And so I'm there watching her work. When I tell you she had these white folks eating out the palm of her hand, they were like, Tia, won't you just come back? Don't you want to come back, Tia? See what you're missing? Come on, Tia. Just, you know, well, just let me know. You're going to, let's have lunch next week. Tia, oh my God, I'm so glad you're here. Are you sure you left? Like, no, Tia. Tia, we love you. Oh my God. Tia, why you leave us? You know you can come back. Now, this nigga just left last week. They ain't even had time to miss her ass. I was like, what did you do to these people? Like, what is this?
Facts is about the relationship. Like, you know, as a black woman in corporate America, you've got to build relationships with the people you work with. And that is something that I am fortunate to be good at, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, some people view it as a game.
Me.
But whatever it is, you know, I'm going to do what it takes.
Yeah.
And I have found that when you build relationships with people, they want to work with you. And then on top of that, once you show them what you're capable of, then they respect you.
Right.
So that's just, you know, what I've been fortunate enough to do. And I've learned, it hasn't always been that way in my career. We can talk about, yes, that last company, it was great. Right. But I hit my stumbles along the way as well, right? Like, I had to grow and learn how to do this over time. Like, I won't say that this is something that I mastered right out of the gate when I first started in corporate America, right? But after being in corporate America for over 15 years now, you learn real quick if you want to succeed.
Well, I've been learning the hard way, which is why I started this show. I was like, I don't want y'all to go through this. I be sitting up there rocking like Sophia. Yep. I bat nail sat in that cube. I sat in that cube till I about nail rotted to death from that Nielsen and this PowerPoint. But that is a God.
But that's why it's so great that you have this platform, Felicia, to help. Because I didn't have anyone like who was guiding me
right
along the way. Well, you know, like we figured it out. And it's so great now that, you know, this platform exists to help the people coming up behind us. You know, now I have people ahead of me, above me, that I look to and I go to for guidance. And it makes all the difference.
Right. So listen, we're going to take a quick break. But after the break, we're going to talk about, have you been a sponsor to somebody? And what was that like? Or I know you're a new VP, but I want to talk about, like, what is that like? Or does the company expect you to be a sponsor? Like, give us the inside scoop. When we come back, though, we're going to take a quick break.
All right.
Hey, how big is your network? Are we connected? You listen to the show. You know I know a lot of people. So why haven't I seen you on the internet? Here are a couple things you can do to plug into the Trill MBA network. One, you can head on over to LinkedIn and follow us on our page at Trill MBA Show on all socials. So LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Go on over there and connect with me. Say hi at me. Talk to me. I want to hear from you. What are you going through? How can I help? Right? You know, you can always email me at ask@trillmba.com. You can always go to trillmba.com, sign up for our freebies. We're always adding new guides and tips and tricks and tactics and videos. to help you through this thing called corporate workplace life. Whew, it's a lot, I know. So connect with me. Let me know how I can help you. Let's get these promotions, ladies. Listen, I want you to get more coins, and I want you to help the next crop of women behind you, okay? So let's get it. And if you need anything, hit me up, okay? At Trill MBA Show, everywhere on the internet. Now, let's get back to the show. All right, welcome back, guys. We're going to wrap this up. We won't take too much of your time, but my friend Tia Cummins, VP of Walker & Company, is over here dropping knowledge. And, you know, it's so funny because I feel like you probably should have done been a VP. I'm just saying, because it's like some of my classmates who graduated from business school a few years after you are like VPs. And I'm like, I know they're not as smart as Tia, so that's some bullshit. Because I went to school with them. So, but the only difference is they're white men.
Yeah, I was about to say, I know people who graduated after me, who are CMOs, right? At this point.
So. And they don't got nothing on you. I already know you could probably run circles around them if given the opportunity. But, you know, hey, here we are thugging it out in corporate America. And so now that you're a VP, and I know right now you work for more of like a startup, but I see this in your future, right? Like people already do it. Like you've introduced me to a couple of your mentees, right? Like just to get more perspective and help and kind of more village it out. But like, how do you plan on handling being a sponsor? Like, are you already looked at as having to be a sponsor? Like, have you even thought about this? Am I just bringing this shit to you and you like, nigga, I don't know.
No, I've definitely thought about this because, you know, Felicia, you know me. I am all about managing your career and preaching that to younger people and then helping them do that. So, yes, I have been a mentor for years and I have too many mentees. Right. I don't know how to say no to people. I get these random, you know, messages. Right. People find me on LinkedIn and it's a young Black woman and she wants to chat. And of course, I'm going to say yes because I want there to be more of us.
Yeah.
So I've got tons of mentees from companies I've worked at, people who found me on LinkedIn. But I would say that I was even able to sponsor people, even in my last company, right? Because to me, sponsorship is all about highlighting the people who you think deserve to be promoted and advocating for them in the room.
Right.
And I've done that, right? Even though I was at the director level.
Right.
So, you know, I think that you can still be a sponsor, even if you're not a VP, if you're in the right rooms and if you're in the conversation.
Right.
You know, I was highly respected at my last company, you know, very close with senior leadership. And so I was able to play that role.
I hate to cut you off, but this question is burning. Did you ever feel like people were looking at you thinking, oh, you just trying to sponsor the Black people? Because that's the dilemma. So that I know we talked about it. I know people are like, well, what the fuck is the dilemma? Well, the dilemma is I'm a Black person in senior leadership. Everybody's coming to me for mentorship. Everybody's coming to me for sponsorship and for advocacy as the one or two Black people in senior leadership. Like, have you felt that pressure? Like, what is that for you?
Yeah. So I was not, and I'll be transparent. I wasn't just sponsoring Black people at that role, right? I was sponsoring the people who I felt were ready for promotions. Mm-hmm. And that was a mix.
Okay.
What I will tell you though, I am very intentional about supporting Black talent and ensuring they have a voice, right? Because I was lucky in my last role to be one of the few Black directors, even at the organization. There was only like two or three VPs, and that was it. So, and there was a handful of directors. And the young Black talent would flock to me because they viewed me as someone who had made it, and how can you help? And I am not afraid, and I think we were just having this conversation online, Felicia, around to advocate for as many of my Black brothers and sisters as I feel are capable for the job. Right. I do not care about, oh, there can only be a few of us, you know, oh, there's not enough room at the top. I hate that crabs in a barrel mentality.
Yeah.
And I hate that that has been forced on us for generations. And so I am a firm believer in helping as many of us get to the top as I possibly can. And I dare you to say something to me about it, right? Because, like, if you do look at the mentees that I work with, yes, it's pretty much all Black women, mm-hmm. right? And you know what, Felicia, going back to when we met,
yep.
and I was at Johnson & Johnson, and I was leading all of our Black MBA recruiting.
Yep.
So I was the one screening all the resumes. I was the one building out, you know, who's going to get the interviews and who's not.
Yep.
And as you know, Black MBA was not as diverse then as it is now, but there were still a lot of non-Black people going. But I would screen those resumes to look for tells. Oh, this person went to an HBCU. Okay. Oh, they're in a sorority or fraternity. That means they're Black. To make right. sure that we were interviewing Black candidates at National Black MBA.
Listen, I don't remember much from that summer, but the data point I remember is we were 20 interns. There were 3 Black women, no Black men. And the data point was half of us were diversity hires. And there was some ambiguous Hispanics. One of the white guys I'm cool with, because he got his offer at National Black, they counted him as a diversity hire.
And that's why when I managed it, and I managed it for, I think, 3 years. I can't maybe. I very intentionally screened out so that, and we would interview, oh man, we probably interviewed at least 30 to 40 people right. on site back then.
Right.
And I would make sure that they were Black, because you were not going to be trying to pass off these other people as diversity hires. Right. Like right. I single-handedly increased our diversity recruiting by 100%.
Oh, for sure.
Because I was like literally, because I was ensuring that we were talking to Black candidates. And I would have dared someone, even as an ABM who was running this process, to say something to me. Because I'm like, no, when I was there, I was the only Black person in my division
yeah.
for a while. And I was like, yeah, no, this can't continue. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be very intentional about it. So even now, right, if I felt that way as an ABM, I was sponsoring our interns to ensure that we were bringing in Black interns. Now, as someone who has a lot more power, you can best believe I'm going to continue to go just as hard for my people.
Yeah.
So, I just think that we more of Black leaders need to do that
mm-hmm.
and need to be willing to speak up and to fight and not be concerned about, you know, well, what are they going to think about me or what are they going to say? Forget that. You don't like it. That's cool. I'll go somewhere else that will value me, because that's the lesson I've learned. Right. Like, OK, you don't value me. Cool. Well, I can go over here and get a job like that real easy. And they will.
And so they will.
I just think we've got to get over that fear of doing what we know is the right thing, because we're so worried about the perception of everybody else.
Yeah. It's just because we have this hyper visibility. Right. Especially senior Black leaders. Then there's this thing where you know, like, I don't want to show favoritism. And I think if you go into it, like you were talking about, I look for a good talent. I don't care if you white, Black, or whatever. I look for mm-hmm. good talent. But the difference between me and my white counterpart is that I see good talent in Black people.
Yes. Speak on it.
And that's where we need to be as everybody. And it's funny, because when a white person sponsors a person that's non-white, non-male, then they get big up, like they get rewarded, like, oh, look at Tom. He's increasing our diversity. This is great, Tom. Good job. And then here come Tia, like, yeah, I got these 5 Black women promoted in this organization helping your diversity. Oh, well, you haven't promoted a white person, you know, like that.
Because y'all got that on lock already.
Right. So that's what Tia was saying. See, that's why I fucks with you. But when I was at a company, I guess I won't say what company, I was reporting into a senior Black guy. And I'll never forget this. He pulled us, all these Black folks, in the room. And he didn't mind, like, serving as like a mentor, you know, offline kind of thing. But he told us straight up, he was like, look, y'all need to go and build these relationships with these other senior leaders and that are in the room too, because I'm the only one. And he legit was the only Black person. And he's like, I'm the only one, so I can't be the one advocating for all of you. And I don't think he meant it the way it felt. Like, I'm not sure. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's a good person. But it kind of felt like, you know, and then the rumors were always, well, you know, I ain't gonna say his name, but the rumors were always like, oh boy, ain't gonna say nothing about you unless these white folks vouch for you first. And then he'll be like, yeah, I'm a line. Like, he'll add his stank on it. But, you know, I realized he was somebody who you would think he had a watering can, but he actually didn't.
That's so sad.
He didn't have a watering can.
That's so sad that he didn't feel secure enough in his position that he couldn't reach down and pull other people up. To me, that's just really, really sad.
Well, part of it was the organization. It was how the organization ran and was built. It was less him and the organization, right? So every organization has its own little funkiness, their politics, whatever. So the politics of the organization kind of pushed Baby in a corner and took his watering can.
Nobody puts Baby in a corner.
And so you can try to fight, but to what detriment? Especially when you're so close to about to be retired. So I can kind of see it, but then I think I just would have handled it differently. I mean, I say that, right? I'm not in his shoes. I don't really know.
Yeah.
But part of me is like, bruh.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in an organization that, you know, that held me back. That, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If this is an organization where me, you know, trying to advocate for Black people and to get more Black people in leadership roles is a problem, oh, then I don't need to be here. I'm not going to be your token.
I know that's right.
I'm not going to be your token.
I know that's right. Listen, now again, I want to give him the benefit, because I know some people be listening like, I know who you're talking about. I want to give this person the benefit of the doubt, because there's always more to the story that you don't know, right?
Yep.
But I think it's important for people to take away, as you're climbing, bring these people with you. But then also on the flip side, let me tell y'all niggas something. Don't come with me with no fuck shit performance, okay?
Facts.
We're here for Black excellence.
Yes. Because you ain't going to prove, that's the one thing now. I'm not going to advocate for you and have you make me look bad, right?
Right.
So you need to have your ish all the way together.
Tight.
So, I mean, as long as you're together, right?
Right.
And like, I see me and you, oh yeah, I have no problem.
Yeah.
No problem.
And if you ain't together, you need to ask for help to get together.
And I'm down to help you too.
Right.
Right? Because I'll be honest, not some of my mentees are like, rock stars. Like, I see them and I'm like, ooh, yes, that's, you were me 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I see it. I want to help you rise. And others are, you know, not quite there. They're struggling a little bit. They need a little more, you know, handholding and guidance. And I'm helping you too. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to help you, but don't ask for me to advocate for you if your stuff ain't tight.
Amen. Now, Tia, one last thing before we get out of here. We got to talk about the most important thing.
The most important thing.
So my question to you is, what's the most important thing you feel like you have learned in your career so far that has really served you well?
Oh, my gosh. There's so much, so much. I'm going to boil it down to this. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Yes!
Because I think what has really benefited me is I never let myself get too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when your career can stagnate a little bit, right?
Right.
I keep my resume updated. I always take recruiter calls, even when I'm not in the market,
sweet,
right? Because you never know when that next great opportunity is going to present yourself and you want to stay fresh.
Right.
So to me, from an overarching, you know, career standpoint, you need to be actively in control of your career at all times. Mm-hmm. And you should be actively managing it at all times. Never sit back and just say, okay, well, I'm in this role and this is good. Let me just sit here for a while. I'm always thinking three moves ahead. I've always been that way, right? And I think that has really helped me grow in my career. So if I had to pick one, you know, I have another one around always having a point of view, but I'll keep it, you know, focused to stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Okay, so we going to make some bonus content.
Bonus!
So we're going to end the show, but real quick, I want to say, I think for me, the most important thing I've learned is that I can't lose. I'm not going to lose. Mm-hmm. This is a long journey. Like, we're going to be working for a long time, mm-hmm. either your own business or for these companies, right? And so there's only lessons and wins. And you really can't fail. And that releases me to go forth and try to be great as best I can every day and to stop walking on these eggshells as a Black woman in corporate, because I be walking on some egg. I be tipping on faux foes. Oof, y'all. Well, Tia, thank you for being a guest on the show.
And thank I want you y'all for having to know. Me.
Oh my God, I love you so much. And I want y'all to know, we not getting off just quite yet. I'm going to record some bonus content. And if you go to trillmba.com and sign up for the freebies, I'm going to post what she's going to talk about having a point of view there. So go sign up and then you get the extra good from Miss Tia Cummins. But listen, Tia, before I let you go, tell people how they can connect with you in the internet.
Yeah, you can always connect with me on LinkedIn. You know, Tia Cummins, pretty easy. I have not yet had another one pop up, so it should be easy to find me. You're welcome to follow me on Instagram. You know, I'm always sharing my thoughts. Felicia knows I'm very willing to just sort of talk about anything and share my point of view on everything, because I've got a point of view on everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, feel free to reach out, connect, send me a message. I'm usually pretty good about responding.
Yes. Tia's pretty bomb. Now listen, don't go overloading her inbox all of a sudden. Just listen and always give people time to respond before you follow up. And remember, follow up, because sometimes that email gets that spam, or like sometimes I don't check LinkedIn for a while. So like, just bring it back up. So listen, guys, we're going to wrap up this show and then we're going to record the freebie stuff. So if you need some help or advice about specific situations, go to trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a 30-minute consultation with me to strategize and walk through your specific work situation. In addition, you can always email me at ask@trillmba.com. I'm happy to either answer your question or connect you to the right person, like Tia, if I don't have the answer. Again, that's trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a 30-minute consultation with me, and that's $40 for the consultation. Or you can hit me up at ask@trillmba.com to submit your question, concern, comment. If you have a listener letter, make sure you put listener letter in the subject line. So I will make sure I can read that on the show. All right, y'all. Tia, we about to get to the like after show. So go to trillmba.com and sign up for these freebies if you want to get more nuggets from Miss Tia Cummins, y'all. And until next time, keep it trill. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.